history, humankind has looked to understand the world around us, to define, taxonomize, and scientate. But some secrets have defied the cold scalpel of knowledge. These dark mysteries still reside within the Mind Trench with your guide, Rob Bollock.
Kia ora, Rob.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
We're all just distracted by the guy walking out on the scaffolding. It's still weird to see because we are like four floors up. So when someone walks past the window, it still feels a bit weird.
Yeah. How are you with heights?
I'm all right with heights,
terrible.
Actually.
Oh, I'm terrible too.
I can't even get them lifts with glass, you know, the glass.
Yeah, I don't like
can't,
those
I have
either.
To point at a wall.
I couldn't abseil at school camp.
No, what would you want?
I had to walk down the stairs.
No. Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
The one that used to actually freak me out, but was escalators. So freak me out, yeah.
Suck you in?
Or get something trapped.
Trapped.
I think it's something about the just constant movement that freaked me out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm fine with heights.
Fantastic
escalators.
Invention, an escalator, actually.
Anyway. Yeah, think about that, you know?
Right.
Engineering. What are we talking about, Rob?
This first is a very quick little story here. This first happened in 2018, and it's only come out now because it took 2 years to... Anyway, a French couple discovered they bought a Savannah cat kitten. Just do Savannah cat.
Okay, Googling it.
Right, it cost them €6,000 or $10,620, New Zealand.
It's a very expensive cat.
And it's a hybrid between a male serval, which is a rare wild cat from North Africa, and a domesticated female.
Oh.
They look quite...
It looks quite beautiful.
It does look quite nice.
They're quite large, kind of like a bobcat.
Yeah, so anyway, they bought it, and then a week later they went, oh, hang on a minute, this is a tiger.
Wait, what?
They'd actually bought a three-month Sumerian tiger cub. And it took them a week before they discovered it wasn't a cat.
So it wasn't a Savannah cat?
No.
These exist?
They do exist.
They're beautiful.
They do.
They have massive ears.
I don't know.
I feel weird about people owning like exotic animals as pets. It's just not right.
Well, apparently you need licenses and all sorts. You can have one of them cats. If you're nuts enough to spend $6,000 or $10,000 on it, look, fair play to you, buy something else. Help people, like they ain't got a house or something. You know, don't buy a cat like that.
Dare I ask what they did with this tiger in the end?
I know, it got put to a good home.
Oh,
it was all good.
Okay.
But nine people got arrested.
Oh, right. They actually arrested them.
Yeah, they arrested people. They actually arrested the French couple first because they're like how the... didn't you realise immediately that was a tiger?
Yeah, I mean...
Do you know what I mean?
To be fair, when you say a Savannah cat, I don't know what you mean until I Google it. But, I mean, if you're like tiger cub, I can visualise that in my head.
Yeah, exactly, straight away.
So 7 days you say it took them? Was that
it took them a week.
A week, yeah.
What, seven? Is that 7 days?
That is 7 days.
7 days
correct.
It took them.
Blimey.
God.
So, vive la France. Right, now anyway, this is a story that I did on Saturday... And I shouldn't have done it.
It was so controversial. I was listening to Saturday Drive, and you were getting so much flack for this, but I was loving it.
But, well, in all honesty, it was a sports feature. But every now and again, I've got to have enough of sport, you know.
I don't want to get too into it now, but I do think it's fit, you know, flying.
Exactly.
Windsurfing, that's a
and
sport.
What
does it matter if it's a
record.
Bird?
I don't.
Yeah,
sorry.
So what are we talking about?
This is about the Godwit bird. It set a record for the longest non-stop flight, covering 12,200 k's in 11 days.
That's a sport, surely.
That worked out at 45.6 whatever k's an hour. And it flew from southwest Alaska on 16th of September and arrived in Auckland 11 days later.
That's very cool. They are so cool.
But they didn't. They flew non-stop.
Yeah, that's
actually
it's absolutely
non-stop.
Insane.
11 days.
If you look at the route from Alaska to like here, it's like in a straight line. Well, not a straight line. There's nothing.
And you think
a few
about
little islands.
The weather it would have had to go through as well.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have just been smooth sailing the whole time.
But
you know?
And then also I found out. That the males have the ability to shrink its internal organs to make it lighter.
What the heck?
Why it shouldn't have to fly this far, I'll just stop there. rather than fly 11 k's. I know, I just eventually
isn't that insane about nature?
That's what I mean. What's it all about?
That I remember going as a kid to go and see the Return of the Godwits in Christchurch Estuary with my grandma.
Okay.
That was always pretty special. You'd get heaps of people and they'd have like a big cordon so that you don't get on the beach and freak them out or anything. But they're such beautiful birds.
Yeah.
And it's super cool to see them all fly in.
Apparently they go back. They go back in March or something.
Around about that time.
They go back, but they fly via Australia, New Guinea, Japan, Russia, and then Alaska.
Wow. It
takes them about a month and they feed all the way.
Yeah, because I was going to say, so 11 days, no food.
Yep, just bang, go. Off you go.
Also, with the this I might sound very stupid here, but with the shrinking of the organs thing, is it surely it's still the same mass? So I don't understand how it could make the bird lighter.
I don't get enough about the difference between weight and mass to be able to answer
you get
that.
A peach. What's a peach shrink into? A little not an apricot. That's another thing. some fruit you can when it shrinks up.
I think we should look into that further.
Anyway.
Because I'm curious to understand.
It's just absolutely mad. But then I thought to myself, when was the first time one of them godwits said, "You know what? I think we should shoot off."
Yeah.
Let's go for a fly.
Let's go for a hoon, see where we land.
Well, let's go 11,000, like 12,000 k's.
Someone on the text here agrees with you. It's a sport. They practice for a couple of months to get match fit, you know? Fair.
But then that led me. I happened to see Rachel on Saturday, and she came in and she said to me, "Oh, yeah, you want to look into the lady known as the Flying Swan."
I thought you might like this.
I thought I'd checked her out. And her name is Sasha Dench. And she, with the help of a motorised paraglider in 2016, followed migrating Berwick swans 7,000 k's across 11 countries.
Isn't that just cool?
But why is it even more incredible? She hates flying. She's absolutely petrified of flying. And then she thought, you know how I get over my fear? Mm-hmm. Me, I go, I'm not going to get in an aeroplane. But she decided to teach herself how to fly a motorised paraglider.
That is just so cool. We were all, you know, freaking out about heights before. Maybe we should all climb a big tree or something.
Yeah. But she's an amazing person. You want to check her out. She's Australia's free diving champion.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
She's also a marine biologist. And she learned all that diving stuff to check out marine, like turtles and stuff.
So why is she doing the big flying? Is that...
It's just to see, they're losing so many of these birds, and they want to see what happens to them when they fly south for the winter.
She calls herself the human swan.
Okay.
That's pretty righteous. Okay.
Don't look like a swan, though, does she?
Just looks like a person.
Next year, she's following the ospreys across Europe to West Africa. Then following that, she's following the mighty godwit.
Yes.
But that ties in nicely.
Yeah. But I think it can't be the direct route. That just won't work out.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it must be the other one.
Yeah.
So check it all out. It's really, really interesting.
When I read about her doing the osprey stuff next year, it was so awesome to see her talking about, because they have to fly over, I think, basically the ice tundra, and that is very, very dangerous because she has to work out how cold it's going to get, because it's pretty cold when you're up there flying anyway, and she has to work out how cold it's going to get, if her body can handle it. It's such a really dangerous thing that she's doing.
But then I think I read it, the first time she did it with the swans, she was flying with them, then they joined into a formation. She said she looked up and they were on either side of her wing and she was part of the V.
Whoa.
She said it was just awesome. Wow, this is just so worth it just for this.
Yeah, that is pretty magic, hey?
Do you know what I mean?
Someone's texted in saying, my theory on the shrinking organs is that they use the moisture from their organs. So I think maybe that it means
squeeze
they, like,
them out so they can have a little drink. Just give your kidney a bit of a squeeze.
Something like that.
I the one that always blows my mind about migration patterns is the tuna, those big, beautiful long fin eels that you get a lot of them in the South Island, that swim there once in their lifetimes. They live in rivers in the South Island and then they make one trip back to Tonga. Oh no, that's right. They don't swim there. They're hatched in New Zealand, and then at the end of their life, somehow they know to swim back to Tonga, and then they lay their eggs in Tonga, and then the ocean currents carry the eggs back to New Zealand. and then the cycle repeats. But, you know, no one says to them, by the way,
you need to go
back to Tonga.
That's what I mean. What is it all about?
Isn't that just so bonkers? Any biologists out there want to text in some, you know, actual science behind that? Be very keen to know.
So then my last thing is, where do they originally come from? I reckon here, because...
Well, you mean the eels?
No, the godwits.
Oh, the
right?
godwits,
because
yeah.
they're here for 6 months. They travel back to Alaska for a month, so that means they're in Alaska for 5 months. So they're here longer than anywhere else they're here.
So they're ours.
So they're kiwi birds.
Oh, I see.
Well, I've enjoyed that very much. It's definitely a sport. I'll stick up for you.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it a sport next week. No, actually, I won't mix it up and just talk about nothing else other than sport.
Rob, it's always a pleasure. No poem today because of the trains.
No.
But poem next week, I'm sure.
I'll tell you what, I just had a week off because I can't.
You can't force
I can't be a word cobbler all the time.
No,
you've got to have a break.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure. You've picked us a song this morning. What is it?
Well, if I ever did karaoke, this is the one I'd pick.
Oh, this is your karaoke song?
Oh, yeah. This is Smokey Robinson with Tears for a Clown. It's the most beautiful song ever. Just listen to the lyrics. It's all me. It's me.
The Mind Trench with Rob Bullocks, only on 95 BFM.